Here we come to June the 12th, which is Trinity Sunday. Let us pray. Lord God, how much we need you. How great is our need. And yet how great is your love and provision for us. Lord Jesus, as you opened the hearts and minds of your disciples to understand the scriptures, to receive the gospel, so open up our minds and hearts to understand you and your gospel and know you and receive salvation. Let us know this truth and let the truth set us free, that you will be glorified. Amen. Why be a disciple of Christ? Why follow and obey Christ? Why seek salvation through him? Our epistle today in Romans 5 says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Before we trust in Christ, we are at war with God. Our original sin renders us hostile to God, dead to God, and our sin invokes his holy wrath. Saving faith in Christ atones for our sin. It removes it, makes us righteous before God. We are now at peace with God. The enmity, the hostility is removed. The Christian can now stand in God's presence, clothed in Christ's righteousness. And then further, we are told that we have the hope, in other words, we look forward to the glory of God, meaning that we will behold the glory of God, the face of God. We will drink in the nature of God for all eternity. I so often hear questions like, what's heaven going to be like? Heaven is standing in awe and wonder at the vision of God forever, utterly transfixed, utterly joyful, utterly fulfilled, utterly sinless, contemplating the fullness of God. And let us never forget that eternal life refers in only a very small way to the length, the quantity of this life. But in the main, it refers to the quality of that life. And I long for that life. Given the choice, I would desire to die now so as to behold the face of God. But God has me and has all disciples of Christ here to fulfill that for which he gave us life. There are things for me to do. There are things for you to do. But the other thing we must never forget is that this eternal life begins now. Only as a shadow, yes. But, oh dear people, what a wonderful shadow, what a marvelous foretaste of the glory to come. And Jesus speaks of this in his high priestly prayer. He says, you granted me authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The purpose of my life and yours, to know Christ and to make him known. To know Christ and to make him known. And that, in a nutshell, is the purpose of every Christian and of every church that is alive to Christ. Eternal life is knowing Jesus and thus becoming a child of God, hence knowing the Father in our lives right now, being made aware of the love of God, his salvation, his powerful guiding hand right now. Well, how does that come about? By the wonderful working in our lives of the Trinity, through the working of God the Father, the working of God the Son, and the work of God the Holy Spirit. I have received and know something of the abundant life that Christ gives, as should every true Christian. But how does this happen? In the beginning, God the Father created us, and sin entered into our lives and separated us from God. So the Father spoke to the serpent in the garden in Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." That God would send a Saviour in human flesh, and Satan would harm this Saviour, but the Saviour would utterly defeat him. And God the Son said, "I will go and be the sacrifice for sin." And thus the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus was born and went to the cross, taking upon himself our sin and dying for our sin in our place. So he was crucified, died and was buried, and on the third day he rose again, opening for us the way into the presence of the Father. You know, I have preached those things thousands of times in my life, and they never cease to thrill me. I pray, God, that they will thrill you as well. Now, how are these wonderful things, these wonderful truths, to be applied in our lives and made real to us? Well, the whole solution is given us right there in today's gospel, in John 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." And God the Holy Spirit says, "I will glorify the Father and the Son by applying the truth of the whole gospel from Genesis 3:15 on. I will make the very bodies of Christians the temple of God, where we may dwell in all fullness." The Spirit of God reveals our need of the gospel. He makes us to understand the gospel. He gives us the faith to believe it. He lives within us. You know, one of the great one-line definitions of the gospel of a Christian is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us. Christ within us through God the Holy Spirit, cleansing us from sin, transforming us from holiness of life to holiness, making us the light of the world, making us the salt of the world, causing us to know Christ, causing us to making him known. This is our God-given destiny in our lives. This is the God-given destiny for Holy Cross. This is the God-given destiny for whatever church you belong to. One of the greatest mistakes that we can make in our Christian lives is to simply observe or commemorate the great events of the Christian church and not to experience them. Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost. Dear people, never let us let it be said of us that we simply know these things like a theory, like a piece of information that we can pass in Christianity 101. Not just to know these things, when in fact we should be experiencing the fullness of our God. Have you experienced the fullness of our God? I remind you what Jesus said in John 17, starting at verse 2. You granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let us determine to know the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Let us determine to make Christ known. Let us determine that our life will do this. Let us determine that our church, Holy Cross, wherever you are a member, will also do this. That we will experience the fullness of our God and proclaim it in life and word and deed. Amen and amen.